and I'll recognize you. And that way also it'll be clear that you can't get into a back and forth because you'll always be talking to me. Say your name again, as Emily said. And when I recognize you, I will try to, somebody's got a feedback loop there. That's good. Try to stay on mute unless I recognize you. And I'm going to try to tell the next person as well so that they're ready with their little unmute button. That'll cut down the lag a little bit. Obviously, no personal attacks. Questions or comments, we're going to try to keep them to 1 minute at first, and we'll see how much time we have as we all go along. I'll only recognize you a second time after everybody else has spoken. To be recognized, you can either literally wave your hand, you can go down bottom of your screen and you can go to reactions, which you will see when you actually move your cursor down there. And one of those things will be a raise hand, and that'll put a little yellow hand up by yourself, or you can use the chat function, and John Peters is graciously monitoring the chat function as well. So any of those ways, we should be able to see you and recognize you. The subject of the matter, of course, is the town warrant, which is in the town report, which is also on the ballot. Everybody should have a ballot, have received this by mail with instructions. So I'm just going to go over that very briefly because they're kind of important. There are instructions that come with that. And so follow that because we do want to make sure all your ballots are counted correctly. Voting is ongoing. You can vote anytime by now through town meeting day with the ballot. Town meeting day will actually be in person. So I am going to have a question to Becky about on town meeting day, if people want to physically bring their ballots, how does that actually work? Are they still putting it in the envelope and sealing it and dropping it through the door, or is there actual in-person like usual stuff?
There is actual in-person voting available for anybody who wants to vote as normal, or as normal Australian ballot. You can come in, masks are required, hand sanitizing is required, and social distancing, obviously. You can come and bring your filled out ballot already. There will be a ballot box near the front door that I'll be checking periodically. You can slide it right through the mail slot in the door if you don't wish to come in. And otherwise, if you're comfortable coming in and voting in person, please feel free. We have safety precautions in place.
Thank you, Becky. And so if somebody, for whatever reason, they lost their thing that came in the mail or they don't get it, they can always walk in and physically get one of these, correct?
Yes.
And if they are sliding it through the slot in the door and not dealing with a person in a checklist, they do need to use the envelope and sign the envelope. Okay, just I'm trying to be clear about all that so everybody's vote is counted. Excellent. Thank you.
And the voting closes at 7 sharp.
At which point the door is sealed, the donut eating begins.
Exactly. And
we're off to the races. Okay. So I'm going to be using this as my kind of checklist for today. So I'm going to start actually on Article 3, which is the budget. And then we'll go down. We have 19 articles to look at there. And so Article 3 is the budget. I'm not going to read them like I usually do at town meeting unless somebody wants me to read actually the article. Article 3 is basically, shall the voters raise a certain amount in taxes? And if there are questions or comments on this, now is a good time to raise your hand or click the little yellow hand or that type of thing. And because I can't see everybody at once, I'm going to do every now and then you may see me do this. And that's just me scrolling back and forth on the screen, trying to see if I see anybody wanting to be recognized. Betsy Rhodes.
I was trying to give someone else another chance. Betsy Rhodes, Rudge Road, South Pomfret. Mr. Moderator, I just wanted to follow up on a question that I posed Wednesday evening.
Yes.
Just wondering if there's any further clarification in Article 3 as to why the figures that appear in that article are not those that appear on page 31 in the calculation of taxes to be raised. I mean, I can find all of them, except I really don't understand why the other revenue sources is not the same number, because without including, it does not include the highway money to be used from the highway fund. And so without that figure, it's really tough to figure out what the select board's attempting to do in Article 3. And so I'm just wondering what the thought process was behind that, why the calculations of taxes to be raised on page 31 are not shown in the warning.
Thank you. And so I see Emily's hand. So Emily.
Very good. I don't have a question right now.
Emily, I'm going to Emily group.
Not Ellie, Emily.
So Emily is still on mute for some reason.
There we go. You keep moving me, and so I can't find myself. Anyway, as you under non-tax revenue, you'll see the 45,056 is not for the general fund, is part of the appropriation articles that come past section 3. Okay, so that non-tax revenue has to be voted on with the appropriations. The other non-tax revenue is not there as well. And so you're taking out those fund balances to come out with the 487,661 that is there in Article 3. The 487,661 has taken out both the highway fund balance and the general fund balance, because those are taxes that have already been raised. Yeah, they are. If you do the math, that's how.
Wait. No, back and forth. So Emily, you're talking to me. Okay. So that was an explanation as to why those numbers are where they are. Would somebody else like to speak? Emily, you still have the floor if you need more explanation.
Yeah, well, that 487,661 is the non-tax revenues minus the two general fund balance and the highway fund balance, because they've already been raised. So we don't need to raise them yet again.
Okay, thank you. So any other questions or comments on the budget article, which can be on a specific line in the budget? Why did you do that? Or on the overall thing? Again, since this isn't town meeting, we are not able to amend or move up or down any line item. You'll always be voting yes or no on the article. I'm going to scroll back and forth. See if I see anybody physically waving their hand or no. So Emily, I still see your little yellow hand up. Do you have an additional thing to say? I don't know how you untake your yellow hand out. Oh, there, Emily's figured that out. I don't know how one does it. Okay, I am moving back and forth and not seeing any additional comments on Article 3. Article 4, and we can come back, but I'm going to run through everybody. So Article 4 is raising money for the Abbott Library. If you have your town report, I will, as we go through these, I'll kind of note where those little bits are. So that is on page 41. And does anybody have a comment or question on that article? I'm not seeing any. Excellent. Article 5, which is for the Cemetery Commission, that is found on page 43 of the town report. Mm-hmm. And I do see a person has joined by phone. If you're on the phone and you want us to recognize you, because of course we can't see you, raise your hand or anything, you would press *9 and then we would know that you want to speak to us. Okay. It's a little hard because I don't have the, you know, the usual sense of the room. So I'm going to, and you appear ready for the next article. So I'm going to go on to Article 6, which is the visiting nurses. That is found on page 51, the town report. Again, if there's any comment or question, seeing none. Article 7, which is the Woodstock Council, Area Council on Aging, that's found on page 53 of the town report.
I'd like to speak, Kevin.
Okay,
my hand.
Deanna Jones. So, Deanna, say your name and you have the floor.
Thank you. I'm Deanna Jones. I'm a Pomfret resident and also the director of the Thompson Senior Center, located in Woodstock, but now more than ever, we have a very robust aging at home support program. I'm so pleased that we had been working on this and planning our aging at home support for a few years as part of our strategic plan. And it has really been implemented over the last year, as many of you know. I'm so thankful to the dozens of Pomfret residents, and I see at least 5 of you on here already on even just one screen, who deliver Meals on Wheels and participate and volunteer in different ways. Tai Chi, Pomfret is really engaged, and I'm so thankful for that. This funding is the same amount that we asked for last year, with no increase. But we are definitely offering increased services, just as one tiny example, and probably the most important one anyway. We delivered last year 1,268 meals to Pomfret residents, and this was an increase of over the last year, which was 650 meals, which we thought was big last year. So just about doubled, and really important for more than just the meal, for the daily check-in. And if the driver doesn't see a person, then we call. We have a contactless system now for drivers and recipients. But lots going on at the Thompson, virtual programs to keep people connected, and even telephone programs for people that don't have Zoom. So please vote to pass this request, definitely. And also please let me know if you or a neighbor or anyone could benefit from these types of services, and keep volunteering. Thank you so much for doing that.
Thank you, Deanna. And Deanna does bring up a point that I should note, and Emily can correct me if I'm wrong, but if I remember right from Wednesday, all of the special articles coming up through Article 14 are the same as were passed last year. Okay. So I'm going to go to Article 8, which is the Woodstock Job Bank. And if anybody has a question or wants to speak on that, seeing none, I'm going to go to Article 9, which is the Healthcare and Rehabilitation Services. Any question or comment? That is found on page 51 as well of the town report. And on to Article 10. Which is the Empower Up Windsor Central Mentoring Program. That's found on page 58 of the town report. I don't see anybody's hand, virtual or otherwise. Going on to Article 11, the Spectrum Teen Center. That's found on page 59 of the town report. Any comment or question? I don't see any. Article 12, which is pentangle art, which is found on page 54. I don't see comments or questions. Article 13, which is WISE, which is found on page 57. Okay, going on to the next article. Article 14, $2,500 to the Adequiji Health Foundation, found on page 52. Okay, we are now kind of through the special articles, what we often call those things. And so now on to Article 15, which is to establish a reserve fund and to put some money into that reserve fund. Would anybody care to speak to that? We did have some questions and comment. Ellie, I'm going to see you. So Ellie, if you just say your name and then you have the floor.
Ellie Pisani, South Concord. Can you explain that a little bit more? Because I certainly am aware of that part of the town right now. And are there any plans for putting the roads back the way they were? Or will all the stop signs remain there, et cetera?
Okay. And I see John Peters. So John, just say your name and you have the floor.
John Peters, Pomfret Select Board. Happy to explain the article itself. So Artistry is donating, it's a payment in lieu of taxes when they receive their they made an application through the state to be tax exempt. So they are paying their town portion of their tax, approximately $10,000 plus an additional $10,000 for about the sum. It's just over $20,000 that we're receiving each year. We as a board decided to establish the fund. We need the voters' approval, but it was our idea that we would take the excess of that donation, so approximately $10,000, and put it into a separate fund in order to be able to help improve the Tego Artistry intersection down there. As of right now, there's no concrete plans as to what exactly will be done with that in the future, but we did want to establish a fund so that we could put that remaining money into it, so as the needs came up that we would have it.
And thank you, John. Oh, you more?
As far as the changing the intersection down there back to the way it was and the stop signs, other board members can also speak, but we haven't made any formalized plans as to what it will go back to once the construction's done. Would be my hope that we would not have the Y at the intersection and that it would be a T, and that stop sign would remain. I'm not sure about that, about the other ones.
Thank you, John. And so additional comments and questions, I should explain just because we have an article coming up about this too, and we've done this at past meetings, that a reserve fund has to be created by town meeting. So that's what one thing this article is doing. And then once money is in the reserve fund, the select board can only pull it out for the purposes set forth in the creation article. So any additional, so I see Emily.
Yeah, we really feel that with the increased traffic there and the increased pedestrian traffic that will be generated by Tego and an ice cream window was in the plan, that and for the safety of those patrons of the library, that we would need to do something perhaps with crosswalks or sidewalks or something along that nature, maybe some curbing to protect those people that are parking in the library parking lot. And so there was one of the ladies from Two Rivers, Rita Sato, who is the traffic lady, among other things, sent a little workup a little while ago that showed a workup of some sidewalks. We're not anywhere near close to that, but we do think that the congestion probably won't get any less. And with the construction, there were some definite concerns that the library had regarding the safety of their patrons. And we think that in the long haul, and there are no definite plans at all, but in the long haul, the town is going to have to adjust and address those issues for the safety of everyone.
Thank you. I see in the chat from Bill Emmons, how many years will the donation last? And so maybe if a select board member can speak to that. And I also see it in the chat from Margaret to read the articles. And so I'll do that. So in this particular case, it's shall the voters establish a reserve fund to be called the Tego Village Fund to be used to improve pedestrian and vehicular traffic in the village area of South Pomfret pursuant to 24 VSA 2804. And shall, so it's a two-part, and shall the voters appropriate the sum of $10,000 from the general fund to such reserve fund. And as John Peters noted, that $10,000 is not being raised in taxes. That $10,000 is coming from an extra charitable donation this year. So back to the question, though, of how many years the donation, John Peters.
To answer Bill Emmons' question, so it's a 10-year donation, and then we'll see what happens after that 10 years, if that will continue or not, but it is for 10 years.
Excellent, thank you. So any person who hasn't spoken on this, who has a comment or a question, now would be the time. Oh, I see, I saw a hand there. Wait, hang on, where'd it go? John Harrington, was that you?
Yes, that was me. Thanks, Kevin. I just wanted clarification. Is the work associated with Tego and Artistry being paid for by the developer and not the town? That would entail, you know, the curbing and around Tego, the access management for the parking and all that. Can somebody confirm that?
Okay, I see Scott Woodward's hand up now. Scott, are you going to address that question?
Yes, the answer is yes. The Kathleen and all of the things that are within her the scope of her responsibility, she is paying for.
Thank you. And just so John and Scott and people going forward, as I'm recognizing you, I'm saying your name, so we have that in the record, but please also just tell me your name back. There we go. John, I see your hand, but I'm just going to make sure that I don't have somebody else. And then I'm going to come over to you. Okay, John Peters.
Just want to clarify what.
So John, just say John Peters.
John Peters, Pomfret Select Board. I just want to clarify what John's Harrington's question and what Scott had replied. There was just to be completely clear. Yes, Artistry or Tego is paying for all of the work, minus a mutually owned culvert in the back of the store, which has drainage from the store as well as town drainage. So there was a culvert that was in part paid by Pomfret, but everything else has been paid for by Artistry. We just had them, their crews did the work because they were already in there and it was something that needed to be replaced. So
thank you. Ellie, So Ellie, you're still on mute.
Ellie Pisani, it's my understanding that Tego Store is separate from Artistry. Is that correct?
I don't know. Scott Woodward.
Scott Woodward, Select Board. That's correct, Ellie. They are separate legal entities.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any additional comments or questions on Article 15? Okay. Go, Benjamin Brickner.
Hi, Benjamin Brickner, Pomfret Road. Just to clarify what might be a little bit of confusion, that donation agreement was actually with Kathleen Dolan, who's the executive director of Artistry. So she stepped in to provide some of the lost funds, actually twice as much as the lost funds that that Artistry, which is a nonprofit, no longer needed to pay to the town because their application for tax exemption was accepted. So it was actually something she did separate and apart from Artistry to make up for the lost revenue to the town.
Thank you. I think you're ready for the next article, which is Article 16, shall the voters reappropriate the $45,056 of unassigned general fund balance at the end of fiscal year 2020 to offset current year taxes to be raised. And if there's any comment or question on that, Vermont law does require that if there's any money is left over in the general fund versus the highway fund, that the select board actually needs reauthorization to spend those. And that's why they're seeking such. Okay. Article 17, kind of one of the usual ones, you know, shall the voters alter the manner in which the collector of delinquent taxes is compensated from an annual stipend to an hourly rate to be determined by the select board? Ann Bauer.
Ann Bauer, I just wonder what the rationale is here. A little explanation would be helpful. Thank you.
Okay. Scott Woodward.
Scott Woodward, Select Board. The rationale is that basically, and I would ask fellow Select Board members to speak up if I don't get this quite right, but the rationale is that the delinquent, it's hard to properly compensate the delinquent tax collector based upon a stipend, based on the level of effort she puts into the job. And so it made more sense to pay her an hourly wage than it is to pay her a straight stipend. The larger context for this too, is that we have gradually been moving a lot of people who are in appointed roles to an hourly wage. And so that's becoming a more consistent practice that rather than paying people a straight stipend, they're getting paid an hourly wage.
Thank you, Scott. Any comment or question on, additional comment or question on Article 17? Article 18 then, shall the voters establish a reserve fund to be called the Highway Equipment Reserve Fund to be used to fund purchases of highway equipment pursuant to 24 VSA 2804, and shall the voters reappropriate the balance of the existing equipment sinking fund to the new highway equipment reserve fund? And Scott's going to speak to that.
Scott Woodward, Select Board. This is mostly a housekeeping item in the midst of I don't know if there are any other capital planning committee members, but in looking over the historical articles from town meetings where our reserve funds were created, I realized in rereading the text of the original article that it was actually a sinking fund. sinking funds can only be used to pay debt service. They can't be used to accumulate balances to make purchases. So what we're effectively doing is converting it into a true reserve fund rather than a sinking fund, so that we actually can legally accumulate balances rather than only being able to use it to pay off debt.
Thank you, Scott. So any other comment or question on Article 18? Neil.
It's Neil Lampson, Webster Hill Road. This is a sort of a general question concerning this article for the select board and the select board candidates. On page 35 of this year's town report, it appears that all highway equipment is being purchased using the vehicle reserve fund. Should we be leasing highway equipment?
Okay. So if any select board member would care to address that, or any candidate for a select board would care to address such a question. And again, don't say Neil, blah, blah, blah. Say Mr. Moderator, and we'll be off. And I'm not seeing any hand or...
Steve has his hand up.
Oh, Steve Chamberlain. Steve, was that true?
Steve Chamberlain, select board. So my feeling on this one is when you look at the work that the Capital Plan Committee put in and presented to us in December, for the purchases that we've got coming up in the next cycle, I think it's very expensive to lease equipment. Just the interest alone on those items, the four trucks, a loader and a grader, the town would be paying somewhere around $68,000 to $70,000 in just interest alone. So I, looking at that, it's an expensive way for the town to go.
Any additional comment really based upon Neil's question? Scott, I'm seeing your hand.
Scott Woodward, select board candidate and capital planning committee member. This is a much bigger topic than for this year's budget. But in short, what I'll say is that, on the one hand, it's clear to say by leasing equipment or otherwise financing it, that you're going to pay more in the long term. That's just logical. That is how it works. But there's other factors to consider, which is, typically financing is done when cash flow becomes a problem. And cash flow for us in our context is how much we hit taxpayers each year for taxes. And so as our appetite for capital expenditures grows, there may come a time, it may not be this year, but there may come a time where we do need to seriously consider financing certain purchases only to lessen the impact on taxpayers in a given year, knowing that it may cost more in the long term. I would just point out that if you look back through town reports going back to the 60s, you'll find that there were in fact periods of time in our history when we did finance equipment purchases, and it just happens to correspond with low interest rates. And so that's where we're at today. And you can look back historically through the records and see that we started making more cash purchases when interest rates were high. And so this is a pretty common practice out there. It's a much bigger topic than for today, but maybe at some point in the future, we will need to talk about whether financing certain purchases makes sense.
Thank you, Scott. Any additional comment or question? Oh, I see Chuck Gunderson's hand. Chuck, you're on mute there. Oh, You're still on mute.
Unmuted.
There you go.
Oh, okay. Chuck Gunderson, Select Board. It is my preference that the Select Board and the town purchase equipment when they have the money to be able to do it, rather than to get into financing situations. And it is also my preference that the town own its own equipment rather than encumber themselves with contracts and leasing issues. So I always prefer that if we have the money, we pay our way as we go.
Thank you, Chuck. Any additional comments or questions on Article 18? Hang on. I see Steve and Scott's hand, but I'm gonna zoom back and forth here, make sure that nobody else wants to speak. Okay, so Steve and then Scott. Steve and then Scott, yeah.
So another thing I would like to add, I think it puts the town in an awkward position, to be in debt. And the other thing that comes from that is, you know, when we're in debt, and then if there's an emergency, it also lowers the town's ability for borrowing money. It lowers that threshold as to what we're eligible for.
Okay. Scott Woodward.
The other thing I want to point out, which is part and parcel to this topic of financing, is that there has been an equity issue raised in the past, and it's actually something we built into our capital planning. It admittedly, it's gone a little bit back and forth philosophically, but there is an argument out there that financing, leasing, not necessarily leasing, but financing purchases or otherwise finding other ways to pay for, let's say, half a purchase. So when we're buying high dollar pieces of equipment, that we are looking at, basically, if you say we want future taxpayers to foot the bill for a piece of equipment, the short way of saying it is that financing the purchase of a piece of equipment is the closest way to align the equity of a purchase, because the people who are getting the value out of using that equipment are the ones who are paying for it, rather than the people who have saved, contributed to the reserve fund for many years, and maybe they move or, whatever, but then they're not getting the value of what they've been chipping in all those years. So that actually, I believe Scott Milne at one point in time raised that equity issue at a town meeting several years ago. And that's been part of our thinking for capital planning. But again, there's been a bit of philosophical ping pong on that issue.
Thank you. I see John Peters' hand.
John Peters, Pomfret Select Board. Yeah, I mean, this isn't the time or the place to get into it, and it is a giant philosophical issue. But whether you're saving money ahead, which that money actually only sits in an account for 1 to 3 years before it gets expended for something, you might be saving for an individual piece for, say, 10 years, but that money isn't really there because there's other purchases along the way. So it's not like the money you're, say you replace a grader every 15 years, the money for that grader isn't sitting in some separate account for 15 years. And then just the other philosophical issue here for me is the taxpayers have the choice whether to approve the budget each year as it goes forward. And so if you don't want to purchase or put money into a reserve fund, then that's your choice as a voter to not vote for the budget or to question it. And so that when it comes time for to get that piece of equipment and it needs to be replaced, maybe there isn't the money there to lease or finance equipment. The Select Board does not need permission from the taxpayers to take out a loan. They could decide tomorrow to go out and buy something and get a loan to pay for it. So now the potential issue is, well, what happens if they vote down the budget because they don't want to pay for that loan in a future year? Now you're stuck not paying for that loan. So this, to me, not financing it is a way to make sure that the voters of a town are actually approving what it is that you want to buy.
Thank you. I see Emily's hand. Emily?
Yes, I'm a firm believer philosophically of if you can afford to set aside money and not pay interest on these things, that's the way to go. That preserves our ability to borrow for things like Irene, where I don't remember those figures exactly, but we were up in the millions, at least $1 million to repair the work that needed to be done. And the voters have traditionally gone along with that. And to be quite honest, it doesn't matter whether you have a new grader or a 20-year-old grader or a new truck that's 5 years old or a zero-year-old truck. The cost of business is keeping this equipment every year. And that's basically your payment. It's what it's costing you to keep the equipment that you need on the ground every year to do the job that you want it to do. And personally, I don't care whether I have a 20-year-old grader grading my road or it's a brand new one, as long as it grades the road. But that cost is still going to be there to run, maintain, and buy that equipment, whether it's new or old. So really, whether it's a new piece of equipment or old doesn't really make any difference. That annual cost is going to be the same each year. If you borrow money, that annual cost is going to be higher. So I'm in favor of a pay-as-you-go model, as we've been doing in the past. That is a philosophical way of thinking about things, but that's the way I think it's been working pretty well.
Thank you. Chuck, I see your hand, but I'm going to come to you after Nancy. Nancy Matthews.
I think I have the video on. Can you hear me?
Good. Yeah, I can hear and see you, Nancy.
I want to address the equity issue that Scott brought up. Frankly, if what is fair is to have a stable tax rate, and if you have a stable tax rate every year, then it doesn't matter when you move to town. And that stable tax rate may go up somewhat with inflation. So you have to, you know, that is another consideration. But if you plan, the highway and the town budgets are one thing, but for special purchases, that the reserve funds have been formed to handle the large expenses. And if you plan well in the future as to what kind of equipment you may need, then you can actually fund those reserve funds in a regular way, which will still maintain your stable tax rate. So frankly, if you do that planning in advance, you don't need to borrow and pay that extra amount of money. So that's my point. Thanks.
Thank you, Nancy. Chuck Gunderson.
As far as the equity question is concerned, I think it's quite equitable to be using reserve funds to purchase equipment, because we are using a reserve fund today that was funded by past generations, not generations, maybe not going back that far, of Pomfret residents. And we are getting the use of the money that they set aside. Future generations or future iterations of the town of Pomfret over the next few years, however many, will be getting the benefit of the money that we set aside. It seems very equitable.
Thank you. Any person who hasn't spoken on this matter? I'm just looking back and forth here for a second. And Scott Woodard, I see your yellow hand up. Is that still?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just thank you, Kevin. Just one last comment. I don't want to make too much of the equity issue. That's not really central to this. I think Nancy really hit the nail on the head. I think stable taxes is really where it's at, right? So to me, it's always been, and I think we're all in agreement. I don't know that there's anybody here who disagrees that our goal really should be to maintain a relatively stable, how much we're hitting taxpayers each year for taxes, to keep that at a steady, fairly steady rate, steady and predictable rate. And the point I was trying to make earlier is that as we have more capital expenditures that we need to make, there is that risk that we could see spikes or that we don't have a steady path forward on what we hit taxpayers for. But I think I'm just saying what I think all of us are saying, which is our main goal is to have consistent rates that we are asking for taxpayers each year as much as we can.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to move on to Article 19, unless I see an additional comment. Okay, Article 19, shall the voters require the taxes be paid in U.S. funds in two installments pursuant to 32 VSA 4773, and that the first installment of such taxes be due and accepted at the Treasurer's office on or before 2:30 p.m. on August 20, 2021, and that the balance be due at the same location on or before 2:30 p.m. on February 4, 2022, and that interest on overdue taxes be charged at 1% per month pursuant to 32 VSA 4873, and that all delinquent taxes be subject to an 8% penalty pursuant to 32 VSA 1674. A long one there. Any comment or question on that? I think it's pretty much always the same article, except the dates obviously change from year to year. Okay, I don't see any comment or question. So now we've been all the way through the warrant. We can go back to the top, start our other things. I do have a chat from Kathy Peters that she would like to address the body. So Kathy, you have the floor. Just identify yourself.
Hi, this is Kathy Peters. I just had a couple questions for the fire department. And usually they speak at town meeting, but this isn't town meeting. So I missed that during the budget, but they're nonetheless important. So their equipment this year is 4.5 times last year's budget, and last year's budget was twice the year before's budget. I'm hoping they can just tell me and give me an idea of what that's going to be used for, since I assume they have some plans to request 4.5 times the money if there's things they need to replace. I just want an idea of what that was.
Okay, and I'm assuming someone from the fire department is going to address this, but Kathy, while I have you there, are you looking at a particular page in the town report and a particular line?
Yes. So it's in the budget. So let me find the page. Hold on.
Okay. Then we can all make sure we're looking at the same thing.
Here. Yep. Let me just, so it's page 26 and it's line 204, equipment, hose, tools, etc.
Okay, thank you. Page 26, line 204. I see that. Yep. That's the 6150, is that number?
Correct, yes. Yep.
Okay, would anybody care to address that? That would.
Maybe no one from the fire department here.
No, I see Kevin Rice. Actually, I see two Kevin Rices. So one of them, the real Kevin Rice. Please identify yourself.
Yeah, this is Kevin Rice. I'm the fire chief. So that equipment there that's under equipment, hose, and tools, we lost over 1,000. Actually, we lost about 1,000 feet of 4-inch hose this year. That was one of the things that we needed to replace. We have a company that came and tested our LDH, our large diameter hose, and we had 9+ sections of 100 feet hose fail. So that's equipment that needs to be replaced.
Thank you, Kevin.
And then my second question is, I'm not sure, Kath, just
wait a sec. I'm just gonna make sure nobody else wants to speak on this particular thing, and then I'll come back to you. Okay, so just identify yourself, Kathy, and away you go.
So, sorry, this is Kathy Peters again. So my second question was that someone said that there aren't, at one point, that the North Pomfret Station, there aren't enough people to man that North Pomfret Station. It isn't responding. Is that still the case? And are there plans to get that responding again? Or is that not the case? And that was just a rumor.
Okay. Kevin, would you like to address this?
Certainly. Am I, you hear me still?
Yeah. Okay. So just say your name and off you
go. Kevin Rice. I'm the fire chief. We've certainly like so many other fire departments in the state, we have certainly been faced with a challenge of manpower, and we've had some folks that have moved out of town, especially those in the north end that were manning our station. We've had some people that are retired, and so consequently, we have a total manpower right now of about 13 active firefighters. So the challenge was, how do we, most of them were residing in the south end of town. So how do we manage the north end? And there was a time when we were not responding out of the north end. We are again. We have reallocated manpower. We have currently, we have one gentleman during the day that has a business over by the North Pomfret post office. And we've got him gear to be able to respond from the north side. We've allocated about 4 people right now out of our 12 that are required to respond to the North Pomfret Station first. And depending on what call we have, where it is, what the location is, we may allocate on the way to the station to send other people to that station as well. But that department is operating. We'll continue to operate it as long as we can. And we're always looking for more people to join our fire department, and especially those that might live on the north side of town.
Thank you, Kevin. I do have a question. I live right down the road. Also, doesn't the rescue truck respond out of the North Pomfret Station, correct?
Yeah, and honestly, the rescue truck, is a non-transport piece of equipment. So yes, it is predominantly been used in the past for responding to accidents and traffic control. We have some we do have some wildland fire gear on there. We do have some extra SCBAs, and it can be used at a scene, for instance, of an accident or a fire, to be used for rehab, for keeping occupants in a warm area while we're trying to find other locations for them.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to check the chat, and I see your hand, Chuck. I'm just going to come to you in just a second here. So, Chuck Gunderson.
Chuck Gunderson, Select Board. I would just like to say thank you to Kevin Rice for all the time and effort that he puts in to the fire department and emergency services in town, and for what I see as his ability to foresee things that we might need and training that we might need and things that we might need to do. And I think remanning the North Pomfret Station is part of that. So once again, thanks, Kevin.
Thank you.
If I may, can I respond, please?
Actually, Kevin, I'm just because I'm trying to recognize people who are new. So I'll come back to you in a sec. But Bill Emmons, are you on another thing, or are you on this particular item?
Hey, I'm right here. Right here, Kevin. Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for participating today. I just want to also point out what a nice town report we have, with one exception, and that is on page 60. There is a picture that goes against all required agricultural practices that the state of Vermont has imposed upon us farmers. And to see that in our town report, kind of gives me the shivers. We have been trying, and I have been a co-chair of the Connecticut River Watershed Farmers Alliance for a while now. We are trying to prevent any farmers and any landowners from keeping their animals close to water bodies of the state of Vermont. And this is a flagrant violation of all required agricultural practices. So if anybody didn't even notice this, this is a problem we have. And I just want to point that out, that we are making great strides in cleaning the waters of our state as farmers. And to see this picture, it kind of gives me the willies. That's all.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill. We're going to actually come back to Kevin Race. I think he had another response on the fire, anything related to fire.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you for those kind words, Chuck. I can tell you that it is the department that our group of people that are so dedicated, and I am so humbled to be leading that department. We've got guys this year that spent over almost 300 hours in training, new people to our town, that put that kind of dedication into serving our community. We've picked up two or three more firefighters, some that aren't even from our town, that are willing to come out and work and train and test equipment and go to trainings and respond to fires in the middle of the night. And I can't say enough about these guys. I am so, so proud of them. And this year, more than ever, I saw us up until the point where the governor told us we could not meet actively anymore together unless it was an emergency. We were at the fire stations every Tuesday night. We got more work done this year than I've ever seen. I've never seen guys pull together better than they have this year. And the list of those men and women are in the town report. And please, please, not just me, thank them, because they are the heart and soul of this community and our fire department.
Thank you. And I saw Steve Chamberlain, but I think it was I'm not sure if it was the like yes hand or the I want to speak hand, Steve. So if you.
Steve Chamberlain, Select Board. I was just going to comment on Billy's comment. Okay. That photograph had to have been taken in Woodstock. Pomfret farmers just would not allow this to happen.
Excellent. Let the minutes reflect that. Okay. So now, again, if it were town meeting, this is an informational public hearing on the warrant, so it's really meant to get out any questions around that, but we do not have the opportunity this year to talk at town meeting, so this is also, I'm going to recognize anybody who would either like to go back to one of the other articles and make a comment or question on that, or, has another thing that would come before town meeting, like it usually does at the end of town meeting, because we won't have that opportunity this year. So if there was any such thing, you can raise your hand or literally wave your hand. And I see none. I thank you all for me. Oops, I see Betsy Rhodes. Betsy Rhodes.
Sometimes at town meeting, myself or Alan Graham have talked about invasive plants in Pomfret and their importance of recognizing them and trying to eliminate them, especially along our roadways. And we're going to continue the campaign, even though we can't meet in person and so forth. We're working, talking about having one of our informational meetings that would often take place at the Abbott Memorial Library in late April, but it'll be via Zoom question and answer session. So if people have any questions and answers, we're looking, I think, sort of toward the end of April. And so we'll get posts out and let people know what's happening, but we are still continuing to chip away at it, even with everything else going on. So thank you again for everyone who's helped, and we look forward to seeing you all soon.
Thank you, Betsy. And Pomfret does an excellent job at that, I might add. So I see Scott and Bill and Kevin coming up, maybe. So Scott?
Scott Woodward, Select Board. I just want to briefly mention some ongoing work, albeit slowly, but I think we'll keep plugging away on it. And I see Alan Graham is here, but we have been in the midst I've been helping as much as I can Alan and the Pomfret Historical Society update the roster of Pomfret's veterans, both current and past. And so that's been ongoing. I think we're making pretty good headway on that. And that the purpose is to, so that we can properly recognize Pomfret's veterans, the many veterans who have served. And we're also figuring out what the design might be for an eventual veterans memorial somewhere on town grounds. That's a work in progress, but that's something we hope to keep working on and bring it to voters at some point here in the not too distant future.
Thank you, Scott. So Bill, I don't see your hand anymore. I don't know if you had another comment or question there yet. Hang on, Ellie, I see you. So Kevin and then Ellie. Kevin, I still see your little hand, so the yellow hand. So I don't know if you have an additional comment or not.
No comment. I didn't mean to have it up.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know how to actually remove it, but so I'm going to go to Ellie and then I'm going to go to Emily.
Okay. Ellie Pisani, South Pomfret. I'd just like to thank everybody in the town government and the fire department. They've done a great job all year long. I've seen people out working around the Tego store renovation, and it's in a very orderly fashion. I totally support the Thompson Center and the visiting nurse, as I had to use their services in the past year. So keep it all going. Thank you very much. Oh, the library too. Excellent, excellent.
Thank you, Ellie. Emily.
Yes, under your chat function, Craig McCray asks about a tax deal with Artistry and Tego. Oh, I just want to clarify the situation here. Tego store is owned by Kathleen Dolan under, I can't recall what the name was exactly, a business entity. We're not doing anything to invest in her private business there. A good third to a half of the store is in the town road right of way. And she did ask for permission to do some things in the town road right of way. And we did negotiate out what could and could not happen there going forward, at least in the short term. Kathleen Dolan, as executive director of Artistry asked for tax exempt status from the listers. A good share of her property was granted tax exempt status because she is a nonprofit. Kathleen Dolan herself offered to donate money to the town as a payment in lieu of taxes, sort of, but that really isn't what it is. She agreed to donate 200% of the town taxes that would be lost by Pomfret because of her tax exempt status. And the forgiveness of those taxes. She didn't have to do that. She did that on her own. She has a 10-year agreement to do that. I believe we're on year 3 now. She's already donated 2 years to us. And we're not putting any town funds into any of her projects. We do have the library there, which is a town library. There has been and still are and probably will be some safety considerations. And there were before Tego was renovated and Artistry was there regarding the parking and crossing the road. And so that's why we wanted to use some of the funds that she donated to help alleviate those situations. But we're not putting any money into the Tego General Store or Artistry We're maintaining the roads by her, just like we do everyone else, but we're not funding her projects in any way, shape, or form.
Thank you. So Chuck, I see you just raise your hand, but I also see Scott Woodward's yellow hand up still. So Scott, did you mean that to stay up?
I'm sorry, I didn't. I meant to take it down.
Okay, thank you. And Chuck Gunderson.
You're muted.
Chuck Gunderson, Select Board. I saw the same question from Craig McRae, and the question was under the tax deal with Artistry and Tego Store, and of course, Tego Store has nothing to do with the tax deal with Kathleen and Artistry, and as a matter of fact, that is not even really a tax deal. It was her decision to make that very generous donation. And just reiterate that the Tego Store is not a nonprofit. It's owned by a separate corporation, and that the town has not invested any money in the Tego Store.
Thank you. So, Kevin, I still see your little yellow hand up. I'm checking to make sure that's not you, and then I'm going to go to John Peters. Okay, John Peters.
John Peters, Pomfret Select Board. Yeah, just to reiterate what Chuck said. And then just clarify that the tax exempt status actually is through the state and not through the town. It was the lister's job to determine if they qualified for the tax exempt status and what portions or all of what they were asking for qualified. But it's actually a state approval process. It is not approved by the town itself. And then any monies that are going into this potential reserve fund would be used for town infrastructure projects, not for any private entity.
Thank you. So now's the time when I say any other business to come before the body. I weren't sure if that was the clap or the raise the hand.
It was me. Okay. Neil Lampson, Webster Hill Road. My good neighbor, Fred Doten, isn't here over on Cloudland Road, but he always made sure that we gave proper thanks to the highway crew this year for doing the tremendous job of keeping our roads open and making it safe for us to travel on our roads.
Thank you. Thank you for mentioning that. So I see Bill and Ben clapping. I'm just making sure that's a clap, not a, like we want to speak. Very good. And anybody else who, Ellie, I see your hand. Hang on one sec. Okay, Ellie Pisani, you have the floor.
Ellie Pisani, South Pomfret. Thank you, Mr. Moderator. It's nice to see your smiling face here and running this program today as you have been in the past. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. All righty, everybody. I'm going to turn this part back over because it's still a select board meeting. So I'm going to finish the informational part of the hearing. And Emily, it's back to your meeting.
Unless you have any other questions, I would entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
I need a second. Thank you, John. All those in favor say aye. John?
Aye.
Chuck? Chuck must be there somewhere.
He said aye, he's muted.
Scott?
Aye.
Thank aye. You, Scott?
Aye.
And Steve?
Aye.
And myself, aye. We thank you all very much for your participation. And we do hope that we can have a normal town meeting next year. I will say that if you have any questions regarding any of the budget items and you wish to talk personally to any of the select board members. I'm sure they would be glad to entertain your call if you need some explanation on anything. We know this is a little bit of a hard sell with this Australian ballot, and we appreciate your patience and your participation.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.